Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book How Democracies Die by Stephen Levitsky, co-authored with Daniel Ziblatt, examines why modern democracies are more likely to erode from within than to collapse through sudden coups. Drawing on the author's expertise in comparative politics, the book shows how elected leaders can weaken democratic institutions while maintaining the appearance of legality. Rather than treating democracy as a stable endpoint, it presents it as a system that depends on shared rules, restraint, and vigilant citizens. The authors compare cases across regions and decades to highlight recurring warning signs attacks on the legitimacy of opponents, efforts to politicize courts and oversight bodies, and the gradual normalization of behavior once considered unacceptable. A central theme is that democratic survival often rests on informal guardrails such as mutual toleration and institutional forbearance, not only on written constitutions. The book also speaks directly to contemporary anxieties by explaining how polarization, media ecosystems, and party incentives can accelerate democratic backsliding. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, The New Path to Democratic Breakdown. The book argues that the most common threat to democracy today is not tanks in the streets, but a slow, internal unraveling led by elected officials. Instead of abolishing elections outright, would-be autocrats often exploit legal tools, procedural maneuvers, and crises to concentrate power. This shift matters because it makes democratic decline harder to recognize and harder to resist. Institutions can be weakened step by step while leaders claim to be acting within the law. The authors map a pattern in which leaders first undermine referees such as courts, electoral agencies, and watchdogs, then tilt the playing field through rules, prosecutions, or media pressure, and finally weaken opponents by delegitimizing them as enemies. They emphasize that democratic collapse is frequently incremental, producing a gray zone where elections continue but competition becomes unfair. By comparing multiple countries, the book helps readers see recurring sequences and tactics rather than viewing each crisis as unique. The practical implication is vigilance, the defense of democracy, depends on noticing early erosions of institutional independence, refusing to normalize anti-democratic behavior, and understanding that legality does not guarantee legitimacy. Secondly, identifying authoritarian behavior in democratic leaders. A major contribution of the book is a clear set of warning signs that help citizens and parties judge whether a political actor is likely to play by democratic rules. The authors highlight behaviors such as rejecting the legitimacy of elections, tolerating or encouraging political violence, denying opponents basic rights, and showing willingness to curtail civil liberties or the independence of institutions. These signals are important because many aspiring authoritarians do not announce their intentions openly. They test boundaries, rely on ambiguity, and frame power grabs as necessary reforms. The book stresses that democracies often fail at the gatekeeping stage when mainstream actors treat extremists as normal partners for short-term advantage. Once in office, a leader who views opponents as existential threats can rationalize extraordinary measures and demand personal loyalty from bureaucracies and law enforcement. The discussion encourages readers to look beyond policy disagreements and focus on commitment to democratic procedures. It also underscores that authoritarian tendencies can appear across ideologies, making institutional standards more important than partisan alignment. Ultimately, the framework equips readers to interpret rhetoric, alliances, and actions as indicators of future governing style rather than dismissing them as campaign theatrics. Thirdly, the role of political parties as gatekeepers. The book places significant responsibility on political parties, portraying them as the first line of defense against anti-democratic leadership. Parties control nominations, endorsements, funding, and the legitimacy that comes with mainstream acceptance. When parties prioritize winning over democratic norms, they may elevate candidates who disdain constraints, assume institutions will contain them, or believe they can be managed once in power. The authors analyze how this gamble can backfire. A leader with mass appeal can quickly dominate a party, punish internal dissent, and reshape the organization around personal loyalty. They also show that party gatekeeping is not only about formal rules, but about informal choices, such as whether leaders condemn norm breaking, cooperate with opponents on basic democratic procedures, or refuse alliances with extremists. The topic also connects to structural incentives, including primary systems, fragmented media, and fundraising dynamics that reward outrage and ideological purity. In this view, protecting democracy requires parties to accept short-term costs, including electoral losses, to prevent longer-term institutional damage. For readers, this reframes democratic responsibility. It is not only voters and courts, but also party leaders and elites who must enforce standards and keep competition within democratic bounds. Fourthly, unwritten norms that keep democracy stable beyond constitutions and laws. The book argues that democratic stability relies on informal guardrails. Two key norms are mutual toleration, the idea that rivals are legitimate opponents rather than enemies, and institutional forbearance, the practice of not using every legal power to the maximum simply because it is available. These norms reduce incentives for escalation. If each side assumes the other is a mortal threat, then extraordinary tactics start to feel justified, and politics becomes a cycle of retaliation. The authors explain how norm erosion can be gradual, aggressive rhetoric, hardball procedural tactics, and refusal to recognize electoral outcomes can become normalized, shifting expectations of acceptable behavior. Once norms weaken, formal checks may not be enough because many institutions depend on voluntary restraint. Courts rely on compliance, legislatures rely on cooperation for basic governance, and electoral systems rely on losers accepting defeat. The discussion also shows how polarization makes toleration harder, while competitive pressures make forbearance less attractive. This topic invites readers to see democracy not as a machine that runs on autopilot, but as a shared practice that needs reinforcement. It also implies that civic leaders, media, and citizens can help rebuild guardrails by rewarding restraint and punishing norm-breaking electorally and socially. Lastly, polarization, institutional capture, and paths to renewal, the book links democratic backsliding to intense polarization, where identity and party loyalty become so strong that citizens excuse abuses by their own side. In such environments, leaders can pursue institutional capture, placing loyalists in courts, oversight agencies, and security institutions, while framing criticism as partisan sabotage. Polarization also erodes the willingness to compromise on core procedures, turning routine governance into a battlefield. The authors discuss how democratic repair typically requires broad coalitions that put institutional integrity above immediate policy victories. This can include cross-party agreements on electoral rules, protections for independent agencies, and norms that limit the use of procedural weapons. The book also points to the importance of civil society, journalism, and local institutions in resisting pressure and maintaining accountability. While the analysis is sobering, it is not fatalistic. It suggests that democracies can recover when citizens recognize that short-term triumphs achieved through norm-breaking create long-term vulnerability. Renewal involves rebuilding trust, reducing incentives for extremism, and restoring a shared commitment to fair competition. For readers, the central lesson is strategic defending. Democracy requires coordination and restraint, not only outrage, and it requires separating existential threats from ordinary policy conflicts. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a practical, evidence-based understanding of democratic fragility, including students of politics, journalists, civic organizers, and any citizen trying to make sense of rising institutional conflict. It will also appeal to readers who are less interested in partisan debate and more interested in the underlying rules that make pluralism possible. The benefit is clarity by explaining common patterns of democratic erosion and offering recognizable warning signs. The book helps readers evaluate leaders, rhetoric, and institutional changes with sharper judgment. It encourages a shift from personality-centered reactions to systems thinking, focusing on courts, elections, parties, and norms that either restrain or empower abuses. Compared with many democracy-themed books that stay abstract or philosophical, it stands out for its comparative approach and its emphasis on actionable concepts such as gatekeeping, mutual toleration, and forbearance. Those tools make it easier to discuss democratic threats without reducing everything to ideology. It is worth buying because it connects history and political science to present day challenges in a way that is readable, concrete, and directly relevant to how citizens, parties, and institutions can prevent gradual backsliding before it becomes irreversible. If you would like to support Stephen Levitsky, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.